Van der Gag who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell Van der Gag.
They had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kick. The super sub has done it again, and Hullamal are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with him. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who are wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To get a flexion! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today I'm delighted to welcome along, 4 days ahead of the Scottish Cup final, Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. Stephen, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to have your time so close to what is a massive day. We'll talk about the Cup final at the start and the finish, I think, but how are you feeling 4 days ahead of the big day?
Yeah, I'm quite relaxed. You know, Alan Burrow said something to us today. He said, well, when we turn up on Saturday, we'll be the most prepared team that's probably ever going into a final. That's what we do. You know, we make sure the boys have a platform to play from and keeps them in the game. And then, you know, obviously what happens on the day, you can't really dictate, but you can make sure we're organised. You can make sure that we're ready to go, and we certainly are. So I'm feeling quite relaxed at the minute. So that may change as the 4 days pan down, but I'm fine at the moment.
And the weekend, perfect preparation there, a 3-0 victory in the Lanarkshire derby. A chance to perhaps give some of the guys that haven't had as much game time as they would have hoped for an opportunity. Some of the young guys as well coming in and doing very, very well.
Yeah, it was important. Obviously, St Johnstone result was a really poor result for a poor performance. Very, very unlike us defensively. And we got punished for it, rightly so. So we had to make sure, Partick, we went out and put on a decent performance and got the result we wanted. So that allowed me to rest a few people. And most of the changes were due to knocks. You know, we have had knocks and bruises. And that Saturday, Sunday off allowed the boys just to come back really fresh. But the boys that came in done okay. You know, there were some very good performances. Boys haven't had game time because, you know, we've done well. In certain positions, we've done very, very well. So, you know, it's hard to replace a win inside. And I always find that when you're not playing, you actually become a bit of a myth. You become a better footballer when you don't play, because you get absolutely scrutinised when you're playing and you're regular and the thing. So it was an opportunity for those boys to actually stand up and be counted and put themselves in my thoughts, either for the bench or a starting place.
And I spoke to you last year, and what you had said is you wouldn't throw in young guys just for the sake of it. The fact that you have given 5 or 6 over the course of the season a chance is testimony to the work of the likes of Stephen Craig and Stephen McManus and Stephen Hamill with the academy as well, the three Stephens.
Yeah.
Because these guys have come in, and they've not just come in and made up the numbers, they've done very well.
I think the key to it is you have to put them in at the right time. And what we're doing at the minute is putting boys in that confident team. You know, Barry Maguire made his debut at St Johnstone. You know, we're on a good run. We're still fighting for sixth place at that stage, I believe. We're not throwing them in when we're losing games constantly, because that's tough. And we're not throwing them in 2 and 3 boys at a time. You know, we've managed to give boys debuts and give them a bit of game time. You know, I think Barry's excelled. He's been excellent. He's got better with each game. David Turnbull's somebody that I've watched for a long time. You know, but he's now starting to get the physical element of his game, because we know he's a talented boy. Liam Brown made his debut, thought he'd done really, really well, Liam, and they've just had a wee taster of it. So, you know, what's important to remember is we have got an identity, we do bring our young boys through. And as you rightly said, the three boys, you know, Stephen Cregan and Steve McManus work very closely with us. You know, we go to all the 20s games, all the first team staff, and we speak when we think people are ready. Obviously, I ultimately take the blame and the reward for things that we do. So, you know, it is difficult to make sure you put them in at the right time. But I believe we've done that this season and gave them valuable experience. And now it's up to those to kick on.
And we'll go back to your first arrival at Fir Park in 2015. I suppose that was a season where you arrived under difficult circumstances, had to turn things around, and the season had the most fantastic ending after what was a very difficult campaign.
Yeah, it was. I came in, I think we'd lost 7 in a row, had we, before I came out, somewhere along those stats. Ian had won his first 2 games, so I had no real connection with Ian. Our only connection was through Tommy Johnson, who was my under 21 assistant manager with Northern Ireland. So Ian came to watch the session, obviously thought I'd put on a decent session. So, you know, it was when he called me, it was probably just the right time. You know, I was very happy in Northern Ireland, but I was with Stephen Craigan at the time with Northern Ireland as well. So it was the right time. I came in very quickly and realised it was a very good club to work for. And as you say, ultimately we finished with, if you can stay up through the playoffs, it's great. They're a great idea. We finished the season really high, you know, beating Rangers and the circumstances we did was a great introduction to the club, if you like.
That being said, the pressures of winning these playoff games, relegation is something that's often described as unthinkable, the consequences that would perhaps come with that. There's working staff behind the scenes who do a fantastic job. They're at the core of the club, and they must have felt under threat that if the team had dropped down a division, it could have been the end of the time.
Yeah, it was. I think this second time around, when I took over as manager, yeah, it probably relates to me a lot more because I just came into the club, you know, I didn't know everybody, and you don't actually quite realise the pressures people are under, and until you sit in the manager's chair, you've no idea. You know, and all the staff, as I was previously, have great ideas, but you ultimately have the decisions that affect the football club. And this time when we, you know, we beat Kilmarnock to stay up, it was a huge relief. You know, I did carry the weight of the club around on me. You see people that you know are going to lose their jobs, as you say, who do absolutely everything, they live and die for the football club. The work hours that, you know, you just wouldn't believe at times. So you do carry that responsibility, and to keep them up and give them a real stable base was a massive, massive incentive for me to keep doing that.
And you would stay on at the club, but after Ian left, carrying on under Mark McGee and finishing fifth in the table that season, was there a feeling of redemption almost after a disappointing first 6 months to go and have a strong season and make up for the kind of disappointing early part of the season as well, I suppose?
Yeah, you don't get time in football, as I found out to my detriment at Oldham. And Ian didn't get loads of time either, and you know, we felt that things would turn around. If you're putting your ideas across, it takes time. Unfortunately, there's no patience in football, so we all know that as managers. And you know, unfortunately, Ian lost his job, and Mark came in, and Mark made a brave decision because most people bring their own staff with them. Mark was confident enough; he'd spoke to a lot of people about me. He was confident enough to keep me, and had a really good relationship. You know, is the things I learned off him in terms of management in 6-7 months were fantastic, and I still use a lot of it now. And I watched what he'd done, and he did give me free rein coaching wise of what I was allowed to do, so he gave me that massive experience, and I'll always be in debt to him for that. But as you say, it was a fantastic finish. Was it up in Inverness we finished 5th, wasn't it? We into the top 6 away in the Inverness game. But it was, yeah, and that was good times, and it was a transformation. I remember the Morton game when Ian got sacked after it, when we got knocked out of the cup. So, you know, that's football. There's so many ups and downs in it. It's an absolute roller coaster.
And the roller coaster continued over the summer with the European Championships, where Northern Ireland just excelled. They really lit up the tournament. It's almost strange thinking about it. I was looking back in the tournament thinking Wales had such a incredible run to the semi-finals, and then there was Northern Ireland as well, who no one gave any chance to going into that tournament, and what a journey that must have been.
Yeah, it was. I mean, only when you look back now you realise how good it was, and the places you went to and the teams you played and the occasions. Did anybody see it coming within the group? Very similar to Motherwell, Michael put a squad of players together that had real belief, real organisation, but a real togetherness, and they identified with the fans, and there was a real, you know, feel to it, a real club feel to it. And that drove people on, you know, they fought for each other, you know, they ran further for each other. And it was an absolutely incredible experience. And as I say, I don't think you really appreciate it maybe until 5-6 years time after it and you look back. And it was a fantastic experience that, you know, you'll, you know, live long in the memory.
And the success of that perhaps propelled you towards club management or taking the top job, and that arose at Oldham. And from a Motherwell point of view, it was interesting to see, obviously, as Ian came on as your assistant, how did that come about? It just seems like quite a strange scenario.
Yeah, people said that to me, but Ian was, you know, quite happy, and nothing really changed for us. I was always the dominant one, the one that, you know, I took a lot of the training, I'd done a lot of the stuff anyway, as I still do now, and It, you know, me and Ian had a good friendship as well. We built up a good friendship and a real trust with each other. So, you know, there was always, ultimately you make decisions as the manager, you get the blame or you get the credit for it, but it's always a group of staff. You know, I was always very open to listening to people, as was Ian. So there was no, I didn't ever envisage any problem. He was a guy I trusted. He was a guy who'd given me an opportunity to come into professional football as well. And there's not a lot of loyalty in football, and it's nice to actually reward people back for that. And Ian's gone and proved what a good manager he is, you know, with the Northern Ireland setup and getting results that are just defying odds with the Northern Ireland under-21 setup. So I'm delighted for him. But yeah, Olin was interesting times.
Yeah, this is a club that were experiencing major difficulties off the park. When that happens, and you've got to, I think you had 8 or 9 first team players, is that right? Or a squad?
I think I had 3. I think when I went there, I had 3 full time professional players. And the rest of them were trialists, but 23 trialists, and it was 3.5 weeks to the first game against Millwall at the Den. So you can tell me I'm crazy for taking it, and in hindsight, yeah, I probably was, you know. But you come back from the Euros, I wanted to be a number one, I wanted to be a manager, and to get an opportunity at League One level, it was hard to turn down, because Oldham could be a fantastic football club. They've got a great fan base, they've got some very loyal fans who've, you know, not had any kind of success for a long, long time. If they got their infrastructure right, they could be a really good club. And I met some brilliant people down there, you know, and people, contrary to belief, the fans were actually very good with me. I think there was an understanding of the circumstances I took on board. It was an impossible task to be judged on that in, was it 6 months, is crazy, and that is the crazy world of football. Ultimately, Oldham have gone down now, and I take absolutely no joy in seeing that. You know, I wanted the club to turn around. My son's actually at the football club, playing for them, and you know, I really would love to see them turn around. There is a real base to be a good football club, but the foundations need to be put in place, and the chance was never ever given to do that.
And that's the thing, you weren't marooned at the bottom of the table. It was certainly competitive. It wasn't much of a gap between the relegation places, and
we're actually, when I got 7 or 8 point off safety with a game in hand, that was where we were. And we were very hard to play against. We didn't concede goals, but we just couldn't score goals. Every bit of bad luck that went in them 6 months went against Oldham, it really was. But I'm not doing a whole lot different than what I'm doing here. You know, we've got an organised structure to it. We have probably a better squad here because we've had more time to put it in place. You know, we've had 2 transfer windows where I only had 1 and I signed 23 players. You can physically get them all right with that amount of time and that budget. You just cannot get all the players right. So it's disappointing, but a learning curve. I hold no bitterness whatsoever towards Oldham. It's made me a better manager. It's made me maybe a wee bit more ruthless with things, and a little bit more ruthless with players, because players have all the power, unfortunately, and you have to make sure that that doesn't happen.
And one door closes and another one opens. The turnaround to return into Fir Park was a very quick one. You come in as Mark McGee's assistant, and then 8 days later, Mark loses his job, and you're kind of thrust into the power of possession. The game at Kilmarnock, for me last season as a supporter, was quite a big turning point in what direction the club were going to go in. Mm. Winning on that very difficult surface, coming back from a goal behind, even Chris Boyd missing the penalty. It just felt like everything kind of came into place in that day, and it was a huge result.
Yeah, it was. It was a huge game for the football club to turn it around. When the position, when Mark left, we were second from bottom, we conceded a lot of goals. I didn't envisage ever taking the job. You know, I'd had a bad experience, as we spoke about at Oldham. I had no intention. I had another 2 offers, one job in Northern Ireland and another job in England, which was not quite in the firing line, and probably better money. But the club were very good with me, firstly to bring me into professional football, and then allow me without minimum fuss to go and take an opportunity. And I just felt, Mark phoned me, he asked me, would I come in for a few weeks and help out? And I knew the precarious nature where we were, and help him and James out. And, you know, it was maybe pulled on my heartstrings a little bit. It was very unlike me because I'm quite unemotional. But I did, and I felt it was right. What happened after that, nobody seen coming. I certainly didn't see it coming. I spoke to Mark and he said, look, if you get the opportunity to take the job, take it. Even then, I wasn't convinced. If I'm being honest, I wasn't convinced. As you say, the Kilmarnock game probably made me realise, actually, the players are behind me. You know, they give absolutely everything in that game. We had a little bit of luck as well, which, if it had been at Oldham, it would have hit the post and went in the penalty. You know, and that was probably the first time where I thought, okay. But even then, I needed a little bit of persuading from those around me to take, you know, even to apply for the job and do it, because What I wasn't willing to do was to sit there in a position where we didn't know what was going to happen. And I told the board they needed to make a decision on me very quickly. I was happy to walk away and let the club start afresh. But ultimately, to come back, it proved to be a decent decision.
It kind of shows your meticulous nature, though, Alan Burrows. It's that you put on a presentation well above and beyond any of the other candidates for the job. You clearly don't go into anything with half-heartedness. Yeah. You've clearly went in and prepared thoroughly. And by the time you decided you were going for that job, you sure as hell were going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of time to think about it. What I was clear in, the club needed to change its direction. It needed a clear out. Mark was well aware of that before he left. You know, we'd spoke about it. I think because I'd been in the club, I knew the club. I knew what it needed. And it was a tough task. And to do it, I was obviously going to ultimately have to make the decisions, and I needed backing. So if I hadn't told the board what way I wanted to go and took the job, and then obviously tried to reinvigorate the side with youth and players who had been fantastic servants to this football club, I had plans. I wanted to bring Keith Lasley onto the coaching staff already. I knew that. I'd seen him coach. I thought he was the right identity. It's proved to be a very good decision. Stephen McManus was somebody I thought was coming to the end of his career. Stephen Hamill the same. You know, and some of the older players, you know, Scott McDonald, etc. I inherited an aging squad that lacked pace, and I had to put a presentation together that made the club sit up and go, somebody has to do this, and somebody has to be strong to do this. And I was not happy to do it, because it's a tough task sitting in front of people like James McFadden and having that conversation, because of the utmost respect for him. And you know, I still get on extremely well with James now. Matter of fact, he's been in the office today, you know, and that is probably the best bit that's come out of it for me. I treated people like men. I spoke to them face to face, and decisions that were horrible at the time, and nobody wants to take, but that was the basis of my interview for the job.
The end of the season, the victory at Accies was absolutely vital, and then followed up with the midweek game at Kilmarnock, which you've already discussed, and then straight away the transition period started. Massive overhaul over the summer months, going into the Betfred games. How pleased were you that the team had gone to win these four games? Because that was a fantastic foundation for the season ahead.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we made that many changes. You hope people hit the ground running. You know, we do our due diligence on people. We've got a very limited budget. You know, I think we were second lowest budget in the league. What I tried to do was sign young players that were hungry. We set out to sign boys that were 20, between 20 and 23, 24, that were really hungry, that had decent groundings in the game, and develop our younger players. And that takes time. When you're making the changes I made, you need to get results early on. Otherwise, you know, I was never a household name. The fans weren't overly enamored by me getting the job, I would imagine. But to hit the ground running was so, so important, because it gives you a bit of leeway. It gives people belief in what you're trying to do. It also makes the players believe in what you've brought into the football club and what you're trying to achieve. And we've done that with four great results, four very good performances. Bar, I think, was Edinburgh City, which was horrendous. And we just managed to scrape the win. But it set us up for the season, as you rightly say. We beat Ross County early on, and you just started to feel momentum turning at the football club. You started to get the support. The board started to believe in you. The players believe in each other. And the momentum takes you forward.
And that's it. I suppose for all the new faces that came in, one that perhaps stood out was Ryan Bowman, who was perhaps at that tipping point of his career at Motherwell, but he had a great pre-season, a great Betfred League Cup game, and then started the season on fire as well.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to Ryan in the last game of the season, and I wasn't happy with the standards. Celebrating against Inverness wasn't what I was here to achieve. Certainly didn't put my neck in the line to be celebrating getting beat. So I had a word with Ryan and told him that wasn't going to happen anymore, and he came back a completely different player. And I think you have to be open-minded. You know, you can't make decisions on players, because we simply cannot go and replace players. People say, well, you might get better for that money. I can assure you won't, because we are pulling rabbits out of the hat continually, and there's only so many times you can do that. Ryan's a great character. He's a boy who maybe didn't really believe he should be at this level, but what he's shown is he's got real determination, and he's done it twice, because he came back pre-season. He had the dip after all the incident against Rangers, and he's come back again, and I'm delighted for him, because he's a brilliant boy to have around the place, and a talented boy. He doesn't get the credit for it.
The talk about the Ross County game being a big boost as well in the league, that carried on the momentum. Another fantastic night, and possibly one of the best cup nights we've had in many years at Fir Park, was a 3-0 victory over Aberdeen in the League Cup quarter final. That's a team that have proven themselves time and time again to be the second force, and we'll steamroller them that night. It was such a great night.
I think I you know what's funny, there's not a lot between the league game on the Sunday and that Thursday night game. People will only see the result and everyone's dictated to by emotions, but there's very little in it. We got a goal at the right time. You know, the goalkeeper made a mistake. We got a goal at the right time and our tempo and our energy just grew and grew after that there. And I mean, usually between us and Aberdeen, whoever scores the first goal seems to end up winning the game, which is a lot in this division, you know. And but what it done was give boys belief that they can compete with anybody in this division.
And I know that this place isn't regularly filled out to the brim, but under these lights, when there is 5,000-6,000 fans just roaring the team on, it's an intimidating place for teams to come, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's close to the pitch, isn't it? And it's a brilliant arena, especially at night time, as you say. You know, and when we do get, you know, we have our loyal 4,000 crowd that are fantastic and that back the boys every week. We'd love more people. You know, I'm not sure what else we have to do to get more people. You know, we give away tickets, we win football matches, we get the two cup finals. It would be fantastic for local kids to come, you know, local schools to actually push and support on top of the brilliant fans we've already got, you know. And you know, I think they've got a team worthy of supporting. They really have. They've got boys that they can identify with that are not on millions of pounds. They can identify themselves in that, the hard work and culture in and around the town. And it would be lovely to fill the stadium, because when it's full and when it's rocking and winning games under the lights, it's a brilliant place to play football.
Ahead of the Hamilton game in New Douglas Park, which ended in a 2-1 win, you signed your new contract. So within 8 months of arriving back at the football club, you've signed a new deal to 2020, and that took us into the semi-final at Hampden, which again, just as a supporter that's experienced so many disappointing days at Hampden or times that the team didn't turn up, the attitude was just spot on from the start. Yeah, we had to grind it out a wee bit for the first hour, but what a way to win it, particularly Lee's second goal.
Yeah, we weren't very good that day, I'm being honest. In the first half we were really poor. I thought the occasion got to us. It was probably the biggest game any of them have ever played in, so it was a massive occasion for them. It took a long time for them to settle in. You know, people forget we're the youngest squad in the league. Cedric Kipper was 20 years of age at that time and he had a real shaky start. He was actually sick the night before, so it was a wee bit of a gamble to play him. But we know we're fitter than the majority of teams in this league. We know we're stronger than them, and the longer the game goes on, we know we'll get our chances. And that proved to be, obviously, the goals that won it. I was sitting in the stand at the time, so we got a great view of it. But yeah, you know, memories for fans like that. And the biggest thing somebody said to me after that game was, you've actually give supporters belief. The team have given them belief that when they go to games, they can beat these teams. So, you know, as a group of staff and players, we have to take that as a real compliment.
And as you said, you spent the last stages of that game from the stand. How difficult was that, to a game that you're so caught up in, to then be having to watch from a distance as the game goes on?
I think Steve McManus might have more complaints, because he was running up and down stairs with messages and shouting at lads. No, it was ridiculous. The referee could have come over and just told everybody to calm down. It was handbags. It was not a lot done at all, you know. So it was disappointing for not to be involved, not being able to go down and celebrate at all at the end of the game. But you know, ultimately the players done it. The players are on the pitch and they deserve the credit for it. So, you know, in a way I was quite happy to walk down the stairs and just wait for them to come in and say well done.
The final obviously didn't go the way we hoped it would. It was still a very competitive affair against a Celtic team that still were on that run of ridiculous games without defeat. The controversial circumstances almost spilled into the league game in the midweek, and then even the Saturday game there was still words being exchanged. How important is it that the club stay together and things like that, because it was spilling over into the statements and to levels of scrutiny that the football club perhaps isn't that used to experiencing?
Yeah, it's when you get Celtic three times in a week and you're getting the cup finals and you're a minute from beating them, you soon bring yourself to the fore of publicity, and that's what newspapers want. Unfortunately, a lot of it was for the wrong reasons. You know, the penalty here when we were winning 1-0, the penalty in the cup final, and make no mistake, Celtic were beating us 1-0 at that time, but it was never a penalty. We know that, we acknowledge that. But the performance the boys put on, as you rightly said, for 60 minutes the game was fantastic. As a matter of fact, our best spell of the game was when we went 1-0 down. You know, goalkeeper made a tremendous save from Louis Malt with another great chance where we felt Louis was pulled down, and a third header from a free kick, all at 1-0. And you're thinking, you know what, we've got a real chance here. But Celtic with 11 men, or playing against Celtic with 11 men is difficult enough. As soon as it goes to 10, then you're in trouble. You know, you're in trouble. You know, we've proved here on a smaller pitch with 10 men, we can stand up, we're very organised. But at Hampden with 10 men, it was a real difficult task. And then ultimately you get all the questions, was it, wasn't it? You know, they won the cup. You know, we're not going to change that there. So for me, I know when you look back at my statements, it certainly wasn't me fueling the fire. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be about the players. But media, people want that. You know, they want to fuel the fire. I spoke to Brendan privately and that was enough. You know, I didn't make another comment. I don't comment on other people's players and I don't comment on other managers unless it's in a good light. And I've said that on numerous occasions and I've stuck to it.
The run after the final and the week that followed was difficult. 7 games in December without a victory. But again, the resilience shows through. The trip to Tenerife, you've got a January where you've got to replace guys like Louis Moult, which a huge, huge task for any club, with even with big resources. How daunting a challenge was that?
It was tough. We always knew Louis was going to go. We knew he wasn't going to sign a new contract. I mean, we offered him an incredible contract for this football club, you know, for what we get. You know, the chairman was putting his own money into the deal. And you know, Louis, and he had earned the right to go and try and better himself in his eyes. And you know, we understood that. So we were making plans before that. The difficulty is, you know, you're replacing a striker who might be on £800, £1,000 a week, and you're trying to, he's going and being on probably 6 times that figure. So he's now not a £1,000 a week striker, he's now a £10,000 a week striker, and you're trying to replace like for like, and for that £1,000. And that's the real difficult bit that you have when players go. They're not like for like anymore. They've earned that right to go as £10,000 a week players or whatever they go on to, and replacing that's difficult. But we've done that with Curtis Main, and that period before the December, November, the 3 games against Celtic were so hard. They were difficult on the boys on the squad. We had 7 injuries after that I don't think any squad can face. I heard all the press about Aberdeen, you know, but the 3 best players missing. Yeah, well, we actually had Peter Hartley, Craig Tanner missing as well, who are massive parts of our team. And through that period in November, December, we had Trevor Carson, we had Peter Hartley, we had Louis Moult towards hamstring, Chris Gadden towards hamstring, we had Carl with concussion, we had Bunny out as well. You know, the list goes on. We're not a club that has a squad that can cope with that. And ultimately, that's what's cost us top 6. We missed out on it by a point, and that period was what cost us. And now, can I make the players that are probably could be perceived as 13 to 18 in the squad, can I make them stronger, can I make them better? That's our aim and that's our task.
You mentioned that the team come back and win the Scottish Cup against Accies, then they're in the league form, improves, and it's supplemented along with the Cup results. Is it fair to say that Cup results, when league results aren't going so well, can kind of almost keep the flow going that little bit nicer?
It makes it a nicer place to come to work. You know, if you've got something to play for all the time. If we hadn't been in the cup final, our season would have been over 4 or 5 weeks ago, really. You know, and we've had a really good run in this. I think we're second in the form table now with the post split. But that's because there's a real desire to play well, stay fit, keep fit. And you know, subconsciously players will lose that little edge if there's nothing to play for. So the cup is, you know, is fantastic, and we've had 2 great runs in it, and it does, it breeds confidence, and one-off games, we know we can beat anybody.
The occasion at Hampden again, the semi-final, yet again the team showing they can go toe-to-toe with one of the best sides in the league and come out convincing winners. Would you rate that as right up there with the best performance of the season?
Yeah, we played well. You know, Aberdeen are a very good side. They showed that again on Sunday beating Celtic. You know, they're the second best team in the league. They've done it for numerous times now, but I thought our performance, our organisation, or just our run on par and our desire to win that football match was tremendous. Once we scored the first goal, I just felt we were going to win the game. We just were that determined, and the week leading up to it, we said in training, we said here as a staff, and I just went, we're not going to lose this game. I just knew by the determination, and the cup run had brought us back again. We'd had that little dip, we'd had a little run again in January to get ourselves back up again, but that run in the cup had given a real belief again to a new set of players. You know, don't forget we lost Peter Hartley for all this period of time, Craig Tanner out as well, and Curtis Main, Nadir Chifchi. It lifted the whole place, it lifted the new signings, lifted the place, and we managed to get results. And I just felt against Aberdeen that we were so fired up, the training sessions and the intensity, it was hard to see us getting beat on that day.
And again, the sparks of celebrations, just like a belief that Motherwell can go to these big occasions and come out in the right end of a result. The occasions like that can't really be understated for a club of our size, can it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a realism of where we are in the football club, you know, where my objective is to stay in the league. That is simply my budget dictates I have to stay in the league. Our aim is higher than that, much higher than that. But to go when you're playing teams like Aberdeen and Rangers, and fans actually going, we're going to win today, well, as opposed to maybe before where you go with, you know, a bit of trepidation and frightened and what's going to happen. And there's a belief, because I think we will play poorly at times, and we have them, but what we won't do is give anything less than 100%. And I sit and look at stats every Monday morning, and when we lose games, the first thing people say is, oh, they didn't try, didn't run enough. That's rubbish. You know, our boys run every game. They give 110% to that badge every single game. Sometimes it doesn't look like that because they've played poorly and we get beat and people are emotional, but I take great credit in knowing that every single player that goes on that pitch is running their heart out from all the football club.
And that's clear that the club has got underneath the group of players' skin. It's clearly got under your skin as well. It's a group behind the scenes as well who are just working so hard to make this football club the best it possibly can be.
Yeah, we are, and we're striving, we're not happy. People say you've got a great season, yeah, but we want the top six, you know, that's the truth. We never shouted it about it, but we really believe we are a top six side, and as we spoke about, that period cost us. But the work that goes on in the background with the staff we have, you know, this Keith Lasley's first year as a coach, and his transformation into it has been fantastic. He's been a super help for me, you know, deserves a lot of credit. Stephen Craig and Steve McManus, Craig Hinchcliffe, Andy Bowles. You know, every detail we can put into it is, you know, medically we've transformed the whole place. We've got a new treatment room. We've got a new head physio who comes with a vast amount of experience, Davey Henderson, to supplement Aileen already. And all our injuries sitting on that board at this moment in time are knocks, broken cheekbones, broken bones, or freak injuries like Craig Tanner and Peter Hartley. So we've reduced that. We've reduced the injuries that we're picking up. We've reduced them. We've learned our lessons. And it's our staff, a real forward, young, forward-thinking staff that wants to take this club forward.
And we'll finish up there, just kind of having a real look at the final. The excitement is incredible. The town looks fantastic. It's a sea of claret and amber. And you clearly appreciate the support the fans are giving the team. They've sold out their allocation. It's three times our average attendance. Mm. It's going to be a fantastic day.
Yeah, it is going to be. As a matter of fact, I didn't even notice the buttons and flags until Laz pointed it out. I was too busy trying to sign players for next year on my phone all the time. But no, it's brilliant, and credit to the council as well for doing that and putting it up and getting behind the team. And you know, we've got, you know, close to what, 13,000 people coming to the final. We'd love to give them a day to remember, and we'd love to see them come back to Fir Park and try and take this club forward, because the club is nothing without the fans. You know, ultimately the fans own the club. Without them supporting and getting behind, good and bad, we will have bad times. You know, that's just the nature of our budget, and the financial disparity between some of the clubs in this division is huge. But if we could make a day to remember, to give the fans something to shout about, it would be, these boys can go down in history. And that's what we tell them, is that pressure. Pressure is when you can't pay your mortgage. We're going to play a game of football that we've got a bunch of fans behind us that are ever so proud. And I just think we're in a win-win situation. We can go and give absolutely everything and become, the players can become heroes.
And you must take a great deal of personal pride in this group of players reaching two finals, just narrowly missing out in the top six. Regardless of what happens on Saturday, I suppose, it's been an absolutely fantastic season.
It has been a great season, and we can make it special. I've said it numerous times, you've heard me say it in the press, we can make it a special season. You know, and that's what we want to do, and we're so driven as a staff and a group of boys. And I genuinely mean, I've been in football a long time. This is the best dressing room I've ever been involved in as a player or a manager. You've got boys that just fight for each other. If they're not in the team, there's not many knocking my door. They know that, probably because I'll just tell them the truth and they don't like the truth, some of them. But they've got a group of boys knowing that the staff are right behind them. They're very close with the fans. They give absolutely everything. They're not millions of pounds. And they really see it as a football club they want to play for. And everyone's got ambitions to play higher. And it gives a great platform along the way to do it. And, you know, to see these boys be successful from where they've come from and where we've started from at the start of the season, then would give me great pleasure.
And how much does this week differ from the run-up to a run-of-the-mill, if you will, league fixture? There's a lot more press demands. There's a lot more demands for your own time, for the staff's time. Is it hard to kind of try and keep feet in the ground?
I think the real difference is the press and the press attention to it, and the time it takes to do it. You know, we're very clever with what we do. We limit certain players' time because everybody wants Cedric to speak to them. So, or Mino, you know, so we limit what people can do because we want them focused. So after Tuesday, that's the players done. You know, that's their press done. Yeah, I've got more bits and pieces to do, but I can live and prepare with that. That's fine. Our week's exactly the same. You know, we have a 4-day lead-in to every game. We were able to rest people on Saturday, which give us a, you know, they look as if they've not played a game of football in terms of their freshness and their energy levels. They're firing and ready to go. We're certainly not tired after a long season. We're ready to go for one last shot.
Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure following the team this season. On behalf of myself, Jane Buster, who aren't obviously here today, all the best on Saturday. We'll all be right behind you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back one last time ahead of the Scottish Cup final. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
One, two, three, four. Talks of hostility and Maggie's mistakes. Conditions of frailty. And the state of lacrimose. She's got an overdose of woes. She seeks a life forgetting her, but she still longs for Romeo. And the paraphernalia can't help her now. She needs covered in snow. I think it's time to take it slow. She said, where are you going now? I said, I'm going to the places I ain't found. I said, place a warm and warm brico and a cheap perfume. She's my party girl. Wearing the stripey top, I love the one that shows off her tattoos. The one that put me in a spell to make me go back to her room. Do you remember her friend Johnny? The one that she was kissing slyly. She took him round the back and she was kissing him contentedly. Cause I don't think he'd be happy that she's found another man. I think that it might bother him, cause he's not my biggest fan. She said, where are you going now? I said, I'm going to the places I ain't found. I said, embrace the world, the marble gold and the cheap perfume. She's my party going. I ain't found, I say, baby.